Let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. It's supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. Training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
It was hot, it was tough, it was sunny, it was training camp. Day two here in Foxborough for Patriots Training Camp 2013. Eric Scalavino, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, all of us at practice. Fred Kirsch was there, but he's not part of the podcast, as usual.
He's, quote, in his pool now.
Yeah. Where he probably, it would look like he was in his pool this morning, too. For a while,
he was sweating
there.
A good amount in the tent. It was hot out there.
It was hot. It was a good day, though. It was a very good day overall. Another good day of practice, I think. Both sides of the ball, some things to be positive about. Starting with Alphonso Dennard. I think he bounced back very well from a kind of a disappointing start yesterday. More than made up for it today. Was taking many more reps with the first defensive group where he's used to lining up. And on the offensive side of the ball, I thought the story of the day, again, was Aaron Dobson, who continues to show some good route running, some good, making some tough athletic catches down the sideline in traffic. Anywhere the ball is thrown to him, he seems to be coming down with it. So that was my takeaway from today on both sides of the ball. What about you guys?
I think it's a phenomenal take, Eric, and I think maybe most importantly, it's a great take for Tom Brady. Because as he continues to see him do that in practice against Aqib Talib or against Alphonso Dennard, he's going to say he doesn't have to be open. You know, we saw it a little bit last year, frankly, with Brandon Lloyd, where he would just throw it to Lloyd. He had confidence in him, back shoulder fades, things of that nature. He's covered, but he's going to come down with it. If he can build that relationship with Dobson early, I think that's a great sign. And we saw Dobson, that's what he did at Marshall. It's one of our criticisms was he wasn't open a lot, didn't create a lot of separation, but always seemed to fight out, outfight the defender for the football, make the catch. He's doing that. And there were times he was open today. There were times he created a little space, but he seems to have that ability, strong hands, body control, whatever the various characteristics that play into that to fight for the football. And I think 2 days into camp for Tom Brady to have seen that from his perspective, is a great start to his career.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on Dobson specifically. I thought he had another good day today and made some terrific plays on the ball, just the way Andy said. But I would add to that we talked a lot about Tom really doesn't have much of a choice. He's going to have to find ways to break in some new guys that he's not overly familiar with. And I think we've seen that. He's giving guys, you know, young, unknown guys opportunities. Today, Dobson got a lot of balls thrown his way, but also Josh Boyce had a lot of balls thrown his way.
Didn't quite come down with them as much.
Didn't take advantage of it as much as Dobson did. One particular ball that he got open, got well open on a deep ball and dropped it. Kenbrell Tompkins also had some opportunities to make plays today. Kamar Aiken, opportunities to make plays. Dobson was the one that took advantage of them the most, but I think it was a really good sign to see Brady throwing the ball frequently to some of these guys he's not comfortable with yet. And we'll find out which ones. It looks like, as Andy explained and Eric explained, Dobson is the guy really that has stood out so far.
And Amendola is still becoming a fan favorite among the thousands who have been coming to practice these first couple of days. Staying with the offense for a second, though, I think it's also important for Brady and the receivers because typically, I think, in camp, the defense tends to have the edge, at least for the first couple of weeks. We've seen a lot of times where Brady and the offense kind of have to – it takes them a little bit to get jump-started, to get on the same page together, just in general, not just the receivers, but just the offense overall. And I think particularly this year with all the turnover and all the young guys, it's very important and positive that at least for the first couple of days, the young receivers are making some plays. Kamar Aiken, another guy who, again, made a pretty decent play again today to stand out. And he's a guy who... Yeah, he was on the team last year, but he needs to – there's an opportunity for him, too, and I think he needs to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I included him in my group, and I do think today especially I thought the passing game was really sharp. Yesterday, I thought, given the conditions, the passing game was better than I was expecting it to be based on what we saw in the spring and based on the conditions yesterday, but I thought the defense had a pretty good day. Today – I thought, other than Alfonso Dennard, I thought the coverage really struggled today. That's a good sign. And I'm not looking at that as necessarily a negative defensively, but more so I'm focusing on the positive of it from the young receiver perspective that we've talked about so far.
Just one note on Boyce. Even though I agree he hasn't stood out for any phenomenal plays, hasn't caught your eye, he did get behind the defense at one point today. Watching him stride it out, he has that gear.
Yeah.
He has speed. Kind of reminds me a little bit of David Patton. That 12 to 17 yards where he kind of hits that speed that strides it out there, and you know, you kind of challenge the safety. Am I going to run a post? Am I going to run a corner? Am I setting you up for a comeback? I'm intrigued to see how he does. It's clearly going to take a little time. Part of that could be the missed spring, you know, with the foot injury, and he's coming back physically. He's coming back mentally, getting his first reps out there. Also, you have to remember he was a fourth round pick, and Dobson was a second round pick. Right. So, you know, something differentiated those two guys there by a couple rounds in the draft, talent and all the expectations. But I'm intrigued to see the speed of Boyce continue to develop.
He has that ability to be running, seemingly running as fast as he can, and then all of a sudden do what Andy just said, that 12 to 15 yards where all of a sudden there's a burst there.
I thought you were going to say what Andy does, too.
No.
Get that extra
gear
to kick
it
in.
The opposite of what
Andy does. It's like when I'm yelling about something.
The situation with Boyce coming across the middle on the play, that it looked like he was streaking by, but the safety, I think it was Tavon Wilson, if I'm not mistaken, was back in really good position, made a play on the ball.
Yep.
Unfortunately, didn't catch it.
Bounced
the ball
off his
popped
hands.
Up. Ball popped right off his hands, right perfectly into Boyce's in stride, and he was gone.
A good heads up play though by Boyce to continue the route.
Sure.
Even though it looked like you said, it looked like Wilson was in position for the ball, he continued his route and was in the
But that was
position.
A play that Andy and I both stopped and said, "Wow, he can run as advertised."
Yeah.
Because he was streaking across the middle of the field.
Right.
A lot of deep balls today, actually.
That was a big focus of the passing.
Which is why I'd say, you know, you mentioned, you know, good for the offense, bad for the defense.
And there were,
this is a defense that led the NFL in 20-plus
yard plays.
74 of them.
And they were connecting.
To Andy.
Because a lot of times in the past, we've seen them try to go deep in training camp, but it's not there either.
Well, they also tried to go deep throughout the spring, and it sucked.
Right.
That's true.
And they were connecting a lot today.
Because it was hideous. It was embarrassingly hideous. Right? I mean, am I mischaracterizing that?
But that's what I thought yesterday. Because it was so bad in the spring and because the conditions were so bad yesterday, I was expecting it to be a continuation of a train wreck. And it wasn't. They were okay yesterday, I thought, in the passing game. I thought the defense was better than the offense yesterday. Today, I thought the offense was better than the defense.
Right. And we should
point out notepads.
Right. We should
know, continuing
point out
that.
Yeah, 2 days in a row.
Collins.
Which, as stipulated by the CBA, they have to start the first couple of days in shells, uppers.
We're ready for tomorrow, though.
Full pads.
Pads tomorrow.
Bill Belichick confirmed for us today.
Except maybe
full pads starting on Sunday. You have an issue, it seems, here with Jamie Collins. Do you want
well,
to
no, Jamie with- Collins, I asked him if he was excited to put on pads tomorrow. He goes, I'm always in full pads. And I was like, what? You don't have pads on right now when you're talking to me. And then Brandon Spike said, you know, when we put the pads on Monday, I'm going to lay some lumber. And I was thinking, Sunday, you're supposed
Spikes,
to wear them.
And it was funny because on Friday, Bill said they would be not a continuation of the spring.
To be fair, Spikes is a nonconformist.
He is. And as
it would just be boring if he just listens to everything the coach said.
Well, since his name has come up, I think we should note that at the end of practice, I think it was the very last play of the team period, he looked like he hit the ground a little awkwardly, and it took him a little while to get up, and a few players' teammates came over and sort of kind of check on him, and he gave him the sort of like, you know, the
early
the
speculation was maybe he got
a little kick in the junk.
It might have been something like that.
It happens.
He did, you know, he got up and he got up the worst for
right.
Wear,
none of the trainers came running over,
up.
But it just something to keep in mind because he's a guy that has missed time due to injury in the past, and it's something that we need to look out for. Also, Dan Connolly, very late in practice during the team period, went over with Nick McDonald and was doing sort of conditioning.
10-yard sprints on the snaps during coinciding with the no-huddle work that the rest of the players were doing. So it's worth watching. I know Brian Lowe was one of those that, boom, Marcus Cannon appears like he's ahead of Dan Connolly in the race, the fight for the starting right guard job. And, yes, Cannon's been getting a lot of reps, but now this leads me to believe Connolly, who was limited in the spring, may still be dealing with something and might not be a full go for these reps. So I think Cannon is going to, you know, get reps and be in the mix for a good backup job or whatever, but I'm not sure I'm so ready to say it's a fair fight right now. I think Conley's still dealing with something. We also saw something we've never seen before on the field, right? Tebow completing a pass.
As far as the equipment goes?
Yes, the GoPro or similar type cameras that were attached to the side of the offside face mask of the quarterbacks. So Brady and Mallett had it on their left side. Mm-hmm. Tebow had it on the right side, and they were filming everything that they did. And I think that would be fascinating footage to see. Through their reads and where their eyes are, because it's going to mirror your eyes.
It is. I think it's a really intriguing way to break down the film from the quarterback's perspective,
right,
to try to see, all right, why did you look here? What was your decision-making process?
Why does Brady go boom, boom, throw, and Tebow goes boom, 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 scramble, spins, boom, boom, scramble, spin, scramble, spin.
I don't want to spend all our podcasts every day beating up on that, but today specifically he had a play that he held the ball longer than any play I've ever seen in my 15 years of being at these training camps. I've never seen anything like that one particular rep today. He held the ball for, I would say, greater than 15 seconds.
Somewhere in that range.
How about that?
Possibly.
And seemed like longer.
Then ended up scrambling to the sideline and basically throwing it away.
Right.
It was
another
non very good day for the third string quarterback.
A lot of players talked after practice. One of them was Jake Ballard, and I forget which one of you guys was in on that conversation, but he did have something interesting to say about his knee.
Admitted that he may never be the same what he was pre-injury. Admits that not so much during plays. He said he doesn't think about it or really during plays, but in between snaps, it feels kind of funny. He thinks about it and just kind of there.
Now you were in on it, so you got an idea of any reading between the lines. I think maybe he's trying to lower expectations. He's obviously heard his name a lot. People talking about, and by the way, we should also throw in, we got a Rob Gronkowski sighting today.
Yes.
He was out there in shorts and T-shirts for a little while.
Civvies.
Got a big,
Eric likes to call him.
Big chant from the crowd, acknowledged him. But Jake has heard all these people talk about we have Jake Ballard. I mean, he can replace Gronkowski. Any chance, Andy, do you think that he's maybe trying to temper enthusiasm?
Based on the way he runs, no, I think he's being honest.
I agree.
I think he's saying, I feel pretty healthy, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
Like, that's not back. And doctors have probably said you may never get. I mean, there's probably some medical people telling him, based on the microfracture, the ACL, the combination of all the injuries in that knee, you're probably never going to feel the same. And I can tell you, one thing he brought up was numbness. He had a major surgery, and I went like 10 years before my knee felt nerve-wise, because they do a lot of cutting in there, and nerves get...
Yeah.
Cut or whatever, damaged, and so they don't work properly.
It just made me feel a lot better about my Achilles, by the way, by saying that you went like 10 years
before. Oh, yeah. When there's that major surgery type nerve damage, it takes a long time to come back. So, no, I think he's just being honest. And one thing he did sort of acknowledge and admit to, and I wholeheartedly agree with him, is he takes a nice positive step forward tomorrow when they put the pads on, not just because, okay, it's that next step, I took a hit, but I think as a 260-plus pound tight end who is a Gronkowski,
he's
versatile
a physical
type
tight end.
He now can do stuff. You know, as he put it, football's not like we're doing in shorts out here playing patty cake. He can take advantage of his size, his skills, his physicality, and I think you may see him take a little bit of a bump forward and say, okay, now he looks better. He's more competitive.
I think that's a great point, and I also want to see, for the same reason, for in a different situation, I want to see Dobson with pads
sure,
on because
yeah.
I want to see the defensive
yep.
backs.
Making
he
plays,
looks like he's got guys around him. Do the pads make it a little bit easier for defensive backs to maybe get the get their hands in there to break them up, or do the pads make it even more advantageous for Dobson to fight off the defensive backs? So I that's something I'm going to be keeping an eye on the next couple of days.
Too. We should note there's some competition at punter this year, and the rookie Ryan Allen is giving Zoltan Mesko a good run for his money right now. He let off quite a few boomers today. Nice tight spirals.
Good
high
first impression. Good first impression.
Time.
Andy was very upset.
He was very upset. You were very upset.
People trying to run.
No one's trying to run anyone out of town.
We're just giving the facts.
We're simply trying to explain to you the difference between bringing in a guy with a resume and a jag. That's all we were trying to point out to you all offseason.
Yeah,
there's a difference between David Ruffer, or whatever his name was, and Ryan Allen. That was the only thing that we were trying to convince you. Yeah.
So looking ahead to tomorrow, guys, I think it should be exciting with the full pads because
it's going
to
be banging.
Well, we should start to see a little bit more emphasis on the running game, I would think, now that there is full pads. Maybe we'll
LeGarrette Blount time?
Maybe we'll see some goal line situations. Maybe we'll see that...
spikes on Blount just over the pop. Ba-boom!
Our favorite blocking
drill.
We'll
see that tomorrow? Goal line? That'd be awesome.
Well, we might.
But maybe.
We might.
I'm ready to ramp it up.
I'm guessing they're going to be a pretty physical
I want to see some lumber laid.
Yeah. The first practice in
first
pads.
First practice in
after
pads.
You get a couple of days to get your feet
Chandler
wet.
Jones. Yeah. Ba-ba-ba.
And we will be
off
back
the edge.
Around the same time tomorrow because practice is again starting at 9 o'clock. Fans, welcome to come. But we'll be back here to wrap it up for you if you haven't had a chance to come and see it. So join us then. We'll see you.
Peace.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.